In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That is the question that Christ puts to the lawyers and Pharisees at the start of this morning's gospel. But notice how Christ doesn't ask, is it lawful to work on the Sabbath? But is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? We all know that the law forbade anyone from working on the Sabbath, but Christ calls them out for their hypocrisy, for he knew that the Jews did not hesitate to do what was necessary to rescue an ox or an ass from the bottom of a well or pit, nor abandon it to be drowned. Which is why, when he asked them as much in verse 5 of Luke's gospel this morning, which of you, having a donkey or ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. They remained silent because they knew that they had done as much. And Jesus, knower of all things, for there is no hiding anything from him, he calls them out, for he knew the murmurings of their hearts. And this was all set up a chapter before, in Luke chapter 13, where Christ heals a woman who had been infirm for 18 years. But the ruler of the synagogue was indignant to the miracle, because he had healed on the Sabbath day. As he proclaimed, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. So here, in chapter 14, the wounds are still fresh for the Jews when Christ asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? If you're willing to rescue an animal on the Sabbath, why can't Christ rescue a person from their calamity on the Sabbath? Isn't a person more valuable than a beast? And the reason that the Jews objected to his healing has less to do with it being performed on the Sabbath and more to do with their inability to render the healing. Do you not think that any one of the Pharisees that if they had the power to heal, would not have done so? Of course they would have, because they would have coveted the praise and adoration from the crowds. After all, the crowds scatter when they walk through the streets. How much more would they be lauded if they had the power to heal? The issue is not that a man was healed on the Sabbath, but that they resented the fact that they were not the ones capable of healing. The issue here is pride. Pride, the vice by which man seeks to exalt himself beyond right reason above what he is. And so, Jesus, knowing their prideful indignation, heals the man of the dropsy. And then he proceeds to give them a lesson in humility. Seeing how the Pharisees chose the best places, he wanted to make them understand the spiritual disease from which they were suffering, and so to encourage them to seek its cure. This is why he first heals the unfortunate man, swollen with sickness, and then, veiling under the lesson under a parable, seeks to cure the spiritual inflation with which the guest before him and the majority of all men are all too often afflicted. The world has given itself over to boastfulness and the infatuation of pride, which is why at a banquet men seek to sit in the place of honor, while humility is the absolute condition for entrance into that heavenly banquet. The virtue of humility is underscored in this morning's collect, in referring to our need that God's grace should always be carried with us in our travels, and is also taught this morning by the Apostle Paul when he explains that without any doing on our part, but solely that we may minister to the praise of God's glory, God has chosen us in Christ. For in Christ, as Paul states, all paternity in heaven and earth is named. And continuing just a few verses further, he says, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. To know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. You see, if we are filled with the fullness of God, we would care little about that coveted place or honor at the table. We would care little about being noticed and care only about following in Christ's blessed footsteps and doing his work. For when we are able to cast aside the shackles of pride and care for the healing and welfare of others, it is in those moments that Christ, who sits at the head of the banquet table, that he is able to commission us to go up higher. It is in those moments when we respond with a humbled and contrite heart, as we seek to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that we will be exalted. And God willing, when we have breathed our last breath, having led a life of virtue, may it be there also that our Lord and Savior, having seen us from afar, come to us, place his hand on our shoulder, and say those words, "Friend, go up higher. Welcome to my table." Those who partake of that heavenly banquet will be those who have fled from an ambition full of the spirit of pride and put on the spirit of humility, of whom God will exalt in the measure in which they have gladly submitted themselves to his holy will. Therefore, let us not delay any further. Why wait when the great physician stands before us? Just as Christ healed the man with the dropsy, allow him to do the same in healing a prideful heart, as we have all had those prideful moments. We've all been there. But my friends, always remember, it is good and lawful to heal on the Sabbath, should that healing be for the glory of God's eternal kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.